Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad and elated to see the switchboard lit up today. We have an exciting topic today. We're going to have a special guest that calls in during the week, and I'm letting her have the show today. I'm turning the show over to her. I will say a few words, but then when she come on, I'm going to chime in and tell her who she is, what she does, and everything. But for the time being, let us go in prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what is about to occur, what is about to go forth, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this broadcast, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the word of God like never before, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for those that's coming on, those that would hear in the archives, dear Heavenly Father. We come to give you the praise today. We come to give you the honor because it's not about us. It's all about you, dear Heavenly Father, serving a true and a living God today. And in the blessed name of Jesus, we pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today our topic is titled, Heaven or Hell? You choose which one you want to go to. Well, you know, without some of the scriptures she had, this is one coming from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and starting with the 3rd verse, the Word of God says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, inconsistent parents, despise of those that are good. All scripture, not some, but all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Traitors, hated, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, what will be? Heaven or hell today? I'm asking you that question. Check yourself out. What will it be in your life today? Are you striving for heaven or are you striving for hell? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And today, we're giving our caller that will break the bread today 45 minutes. So I'll come on if she needs me to, but I'm going to sit back and relax and listen to the guest that wanted to bring this topic on today. And I see she's on. I'm going to bring her on. And I'm going to let her introduce herself to you. And I'm going to step back today and let her talk. Guess you are now on.
Well, good morning to everyone that's on the air, and especially to you, Apostle Sadie. This is Evangelist Barnes Epps coming to you from Pennsylvania. The Lord gave me a message. Well, I've always preached repentance, but the Lord has given me an end-time message because this is the purpose for my being born, for such a time as this. And I now know that the message that I'm to preach may cause me to lose my life, but I don't care because I'd much rather obey God than man. I know that in these last days, we will either choose heaven or hell. I didn't know which topic to use. I thought about life or death, righteousness or unrighteousness, good or evil, God or Satan. You choose. But I chose heaven or hell. Now, this is something that most pastors don't preach. They used to preach it way back in the day, but they don't preach it now. And Sister Sadie and I be talking about this all the time. Every time we get on the phone, we laugh and have fun, but we all laugh and have fun in the Lord. So yes. I'm going to, my message is coming from 2 Timothy chapter 3, which Sister Sadie read some of that. But You know, all sin in the world is summed up as the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Verse 1 says, this know also. When you see also, that means to go up to chapter 2. In chapter 2, it's talking about repentance and the way we should live our lives. But it says, know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. What does perilous mean? It says that that is a dangerous time. And we already know that we are in dangerous times. We are in perilous times now. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men will love to gratify their own lust. Not think about the Lord. What is it that I want? What do I want to do? The covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. When every man is eager to do and what they want and to get what they want, they're anxious to keep whatever it is they have. And men should fear God. When we don't fear God, then we have no regard for man. disobedient to parents. We are definitely in this time because now you have kids cursing the parents out, killing the parents in their sleep. We've had several cases of children being so disobedient to parents, getting mad because parents will take their games away from them. Unthankful, unholy. When people are unthankful and unholy, they have no fear of God. And we abuse God's gift. God gave us gifts without repentance. So when we were yet in our sins, our gifts was in operation. I know that when I was a little kid, I had a dream about this mansion. Now, I was not saved. I was a kid. I grew up in the church, but that did not make me be a child of God. That did not make me be saved. Just because a person gets baptized does not make you saved. And I had this dream that I lived in a mansion. I saw the blue and white paper on the walls. I saw what the mansion looked like. And I told my sisters, I'm going to live in a mansion. Granted, I lived in an all-black neighborhood way back in the day. So a mansion was far from our thoughts and our visions. And, you know, what we'd seen nothing like that. But I knew I was going to live in a mansion. And who would know, after I got saved, the Lord took me to New York. And where did I live? In a mansion. The paper on the walls was the same as in my dream. So we cannot downplay the visions that we have because they could very well be from the Lord. And it talks about unnatural, without natural affection. If you don't have natural affection for people, then you have unnatural affection. And that means I was reading the other day where this mother and son got married. How about a man marrying his horse? Homosexuality, the LGBTQ, that society is really coming on. Saints, we got to pray. And pray against that because they are teaching that to our young kids in school. Got a book showing pictures. We have to pray. Truth breakers. You have so many people that word means nothing. My grandfather would always tell me, don't let your word be your bond. Don't let your word fall to the ground. So I still go by that right today. False accusers, incontinent, fierce. Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Boy, when we have no rule over our own spirits and we despise what's good and what's honored, God is to be loved above all of that. But when we have a carnal mind full of enmity against God, we prefer anything before we prefer him, especially carnal pleasures. And I do remember when I was right in that boat, counted among them, having a form of godliness. And when you think about a form, that's like a, it's not the real thing. It's like a shaded figure or something. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away, a form of godliness. Boy, we have that in church so much today, and it's such a big spirit because it's a hypocritical spirit. And we know that hypocrites, they are in the church, doing things in the church, praying for people. They go out Saturday night. I've been with some members of several churches where some of the people would go out on a Saturday night, drink, get drunk, and smoke, and come to church like that, praying. Some of the elders of the church. Now, why is it? Now, if I can smell all that on a person, why is it? And I trust me, I tell them what the word says. I don't put it on myself. I put it on the word. If you're going to get mad, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Lord, because this is his word, not mine. For of this sort, we're talking about the ones that's having a form of godliness, the hypocrites. From this sort, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And how many women do we know of that's been led away by men in the church that pretend to be God-loving? I call them a civil-tongued devil. So they're able to lead the women away from God. And verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All of us must be ever learning. But what are we ever learning for? We're ever learning to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But those that's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, they are following every notion. That is so true today. Talking about that first verse where it says, and all this is going along with heaven or hell. You got to choose. But you got to know what the flesh is all about. This know also that in the last days, perilous, which I put in parentheses, dangerous times shall come. So we know that what's going on now in the world is wars, rumors of wars. Now they're talking about a nuclear bomb race that's between Russia, Korea, China, Venezuela, and the U.S. Now I put Venezuela in there because Russia and China have teamed up with Venezuela. We don't know how many small countries, most of them don't like the United States of America. That's why we have to really fast and pray for our own selves. Cannibalism. People now have gotten, cannibals have really gotten so forward out there, and they talk about and they show pictures of them eating human flesh. How they do it, they have long tables where they put the human flesh there and they just eat it. I mean, raw. And some of them cook it. They call it, spirit cooking. That's what they call it. Yeah, it's spirit cooking, all right. It's not the spirit of God. And we have sex trade where they're trading kids and young boys and young girls and men and women to foreign countries. Did you know that you could buy animals online for sexual purposes? Bestiality, you can buy an animal. That's horrible. My cousin just told me that last weekend. Now we have actors, actresses, all of the pro players, a lot of them, that joined the Illuminati, joined the elite. They sell their souls to the devil. And the elite tried to move to outer space. You cannot get away from the Lord. I don't care what planet you go to, you cannot hide from God. All of the floods that's happening now in so many different places, and you see the raging waters. And I look at it, and I'm going, Lord, tears fill my eyes. I cried about the babies. I read about this big can. It's like a canister, a big tank that was filled with body parts of babies, where they had killed the babies, and they show on YouTube how they pull the babies out of the mothers. They suck them out. Then if they like full term, they take their arms and their legs. They just pull them all apart. How can you, even, I don't know how a human being could be so evil. We got earthquakes, tornadoes, there's signs in the clouds. I also saw some clouds coming out of the sky. Now, I saw this on YouTube, and they say that YouTube is, I believe a lot of the stuff, most of the stuff that's on YouTube, I believe it, because I have seen in the spirit a lot of that. I saw this cloud come down, and it just like rolled up, and it hovered over the city. And it's they have like bad lightning. They have like a lightning storm. Horns like sounded like a shofar blowing in many parts of the world and here in the United States. Landslides, fires. They got the earth that's cracking, just busting open. Giants living in the woods, aliens. And now they have AI soldiers, artificially intelligent soldiers. They say they're making the mind. They got the mind where those soldiers have their own minds, and they're teaching them to fight. What they're going to do, they're preparing for the Battle of Armageddon. And then they have fish that's just washing up on the, they say they're strange ancient fish. But all this, when I looked at all this, just came to my mind like that. When I looked at this, I'm going, Lord Jesus, I know you're coming. So I am preparing myself for the coming of the Lord. And same as you, this is when we should get our families together. And all of these ungodly people, which we were at one time, they are coming. They have gotten their minds together. And they're coming together with singleness of mind and of heart. Makes me think about the Tower of Babel, when they all came together, but they wanted to do the wrong thing. They wanted to go to heaven. And these people, I tell you, they've been working on Satan's schemes and his plans for centuries, and we've just been unaware. And now this is what the Satanists, the Illuminati, is saying, that it is all about to culminate. It's all about to come to fruition. They're getting a one-world religion. Now you got the Pope talking to Pope Francis, and he just said that he was the devil. That was on YouTube, came out of his own mouth. And the people that was with him were saying, no, you don't mean that. Don't say that. He never retracted it. And it says that the one world religion, he's talked to presidents and all of people, the people that's over these foreign countries, they're all coming together underneath the Roman Catholic Church, a one world government with its head being that of Satan. The world's currency will be the mark of the beast, where you will get, I can't think of the name of that, but you're going to get it put in your hand or in your, that mark, put in your hand or in the forehead. And no one will be able to buy or sell anything unless you got that mark, unless you have sold your soul to the devil. Now, when and if you do, you no longer belong to the Lord. Not ever. That's in the Bible. Our monies will be null and void, and ain't gonna be worth nothing. It's coming to that now. Our dollar is not worth what it used to be. So I'm just telling you, I'm warning you, get prepared for the things that's already here, and they are really going to come to fruition. Look at Venezuela, how it's been in the dark all this time, and how the people are rioting and fighting, and they don't have food. And get prepared, people. They're coming for the saints of God and God's kingdom. Goes to show you how ignorant and stupid the devil is, because I always laugh at him. I'm saved. I chose heaven. I'm saved. But I always laugh at him now, because he does all these things, and yeah, we go through, we have problems, and but when we come out of it and we look back, we see the hand of God on that situation and on our lives, and we draw closer to him instead of farther away. But we've read the end of the book. We win. That's what I'm happy about. And I'm here to admonish you today to get your life together. And this makes me think about the time when I got my life together. I know I've been talking for some time, and I know Sister Sadie always lets people come in that if you have a question or anything you want to say before I tell my testimony, I'll open it up for any comments or statements that anyone want to say or ask. Okay, if not, I'm going to tell my testimony. We're talking about heaven or hell, God or the devil. Well, you know, I grew up in church, and like I said before, it didn't make me be saved or know God. I knew about him, but I really didn't know him for myself. And I would always tell people, especially people that would, you know, witness to me, I tell them, hey, I'm not going to accept the Lord because you say he's this and that. He got to prove himself to me. And when he proves himself to me, it's going to hit me like a ton of bricks. Well, one Sunday, I went to church. I would always get my mother and my grandmother, they all would invite me to church, my sisters, but I'd never go. But one Sunday, I went to church, and Pastor Cooper was preaching. And his testimony, while he was telling his testimony, I was sitting beside this lady. Her name was Sister Stewart. And she would always, she really loved me. She would always tell me, Beverly, get your life right. Turn your life over to the Lord. And sometimes it would make me mad. You know, like when I was a kid, you know, teenager and stuff, it would make me mad because I didn't want to turn my life over to the Lord. I was having too much fun being a cheerleader and all that stuff in the band. So that Sunday, I was sitting beside her in the church. And when Pastor Cooper started telling his testimony, I could feel electricity going through my body, just coming up like from my feet up to my head. And as it would come up, she would always grab me. She would feel it too. She would grab me, and it would go away. That feeling would go away. But I wanted to feel that feeling. I really wanted it. And that happened like 3 times in the church service. But I didn't get saved that time, at that 3 o'clock service. So usually after church, we love the kitchen. Well, I used to love the kitchen. I no longer love all that work, but I'll do it if I have to. But back then, we would be in the kitchen because it was a lot of fun. So I went in the kitchen and helped them with the food and stuff. And while I was there, I told my sisters, I said, come on, let's go to church. But I didn't know that a young lady that worked for me in my grocery store was fasting and praying for me. And on that Sunday, April 24th, 1985, Betty had posted on her calendar, Beverly gets saved. So nobody wanted to go to church with me. So that evening about 6 o'clock, there I go. I jump in my car, and I'm just driving, trying to find a church. So finally I drove down this street in Baytown, Texas. I drove down this street, and there was this church that was open. And I pulled up, went inside. Lo and behold, there was Betty. And I sat back there in the back. I had a dress on that had two sleeves that had slits in the sleeves up to the top of the shoulder, and had two slits in the bottom, the dress part that came up to up above the knee. So I'm sitting in church. Betty comes back there and sit with me. She said, "Beverly, you're going to get saved today." I said, not me, because I ain't going to quit my boyfriend and I ain't going to stop having sex. I am not getting saved today. Mm-hmm. She said, "Yes, you are." And so thankful that God listens to the heart and not what comes out of the mouth and what we be saying and what we be doing with the flesh. He listens to the inner heart.
Amen.
And while
you have a caller.
Yes.
That want to say something. Caller with area code 2283. Go right on. You are on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
They may be afraid to speak. Did you? So she punched one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I brought her in. Did you want to say something? Caller from area code 832-336.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I punched in when you had stopped to ask us if there were any questions. I have started reading the scripture that your message is coming from, and you know, every day that I read the Word of God, He shows me something new in it. And it's something I did not know, and because you had me read this particular scripture, God showed me this message for me to share with others from your message. You know, I'm like you. I had belonged to church for many of years, but I just belonged. But after a while, I got a relationship with God. So now when I read His Word comes alive. And I've also been blessed with the fact that the Bible that God gave me to understand His Word is such an opening of His Word to me, because when I was reading what you were saying from the scripture, my Bible notes say just what you said. This society today is exactly what Paul predicted way back then. When we look at these different things that are in this scripture that you're reading today, we see all of what you're talking about. The unthankfulness in this, to me, is not about people. We're unthankful for the gift that we're about to celebrate this next coming two Sundays, the gift that Jesus gave His life on the cross for us. We've gotten so that we're ungrateful for it. Even believers in the house of worship, as you say, they're there, but they're not converted completely over to being the true children of God that God desires them to be. So even they are unthankful. They feel that if I come in and give them a few hours a day on Sunday, maybe I'll show up for Bible study, but there's no conversion happening in these people. And it says to me that we're unthankful from just what this verse said. We're unthankful for what God has done for us.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
So I'm going to continue to read this, and when I get off, I'm going to read all of it. As you said, I wrote it down. When you see also, it means to go back to the next to the chapter before. So I'm going back to chapter 2. Matter of fact, I may even go all the way back to 1 and find out exactly what is going on here with Timothy that brought us to this part in the Word of God that we can see ourselves today. People don't know. The Word of God shows us exactly where we are today. This word definitely shows us where we are today. And I just wanted to thank you for bringing that out, sister. I pray Heavenly Father will continue to bless you as you bring this message out for us to decide which one do we want to be in, heaven or hell. Because, sister, I'm going to heaven. The few things that I may do wrong, I ask God every day to forgive me for the sins I do know I did and the ones I didn't know. So my plate will be clean when I start in the morning. And I also ask him to be sure to help me not to say anything that would be shameful to him or bring dishonor to his name during the day. So you keep on talking and let us continue to understand why we need to choose heaven or hell. Bless you, my sister.
Amen. The Lord bless you, too. Thank you. Thank God for you.
Amen.
But I was talking about when I got saved, because it was so traumatic to me. When Betty told me, you're going to get saved, I kept saying, no, I'm not. I'm not going to get saved. So the pastor, it was a pastor and his wife. They're preaching. And first they called for the children that wasn't saved to come to the altar. Then they called for the children that was saved to stand behind the children that wasn't saved.
All right.
Then he called for the adults that wasn't saved to come stand behind them.
All right.
And he called for the adults that was saved. So guess what? I didn't get up. I sat there, and then I looked around. I'm sitting there all by myself. So I get up, not to be looking so suspicious. I get up, and I stand behind everybody. And so while he praying, now I'm hearing these little kids speaking in tongues, you know, hitting the floor, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I look up every now and then to see. And finally I said, ooh, Lord, I don't want that pastor to see me standing up back. As soon as I said that, who catches my eye? That pastor looks at me, and I held my head down because I didn't want him coming to me. And, you know, God knows us. I'm telling you, he knows us. I couldn't stand for people to yell in my ear. I can't stand loud music right today. Yell in my ear. And then they would always have their breath wouldn't be most pleasant. So everything was like a turn off to me. So this pastor walked up to me and he whispered in my ear, don't you want to be saved? And I jumped up. They say I jumped up so high. I said, yes, I want to be saved. And I remember from that standing position up in the air, I remember thinking, because I was falling backwards, and I remember thinking, I'm going to hurt myself. And I hit that floor. It was just me and the Lord.
Amen.
I shouted on my back.
Amen.
From the back
Amen.
Of that church. All the way up to the front.
Amen.
I praise the Lord. I kept those people there until 10:30, 11 o'clock that night. Just praising God because I was so happy. I was having all kinds of problems. And I remember, and I didn't tell anybody about the problems, but God knew. The Lord knew I needed a way out. The Lord knew that I wasn't really thinking about hell. I wasn't thinking about heaven then, or so I thought, but I needed a way out. I was thinking about the Lord because he was the one brought me out when I got saved. And the day after I planned to go, because I had a good job. I was working at Exxon as an instrument technician, and I gave my mother money to get me out of jail because the next day I was going to go to Exxon and fight my boss. That's how tough I was. I had made up in my mind, I'm going to fight this man. And I got saved that Sunday night. And I went to that meeting the next day, and I told him, I said, you better be glad I got saved last night, because I was going to fight you today. And he looked at me. He said, well, Beverly, I'm really surprised at you. Don't be surprised. because that's who I was. I would have fought you. That's how mad and angry I was. But the Lord chose a different route. After I left him, I went to the street and house to house, and I started telling everybody about what happened to me, the experience that I had with the Lord Jesus Christ. And who would think that because I chose the Lord, he would take me and train me out in the street, talking to the people that's on drugs, having all kinds of things going on around me, but nothing never touched me. The Lord has been with me all along. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Mm. And I know that it may be some people out there that want to turn their lives over to the Lord. Will you sell your soul to be a slave for power, fame, and fortune? Or will you live a life for Christ? Just remember that one act of courage by saying yes to Jesus will get you an eternity with the Lord. Now, you can sit there and listen to those little voices that take, oh, don't get up, because that's what I did. That's what happened to me. You don't want people to know your business. Don't you get up. You just need, ain't nothing wrong with you. Or you can pay attention to that and say no to that one act, which would be a cowardice act. You'll be saying no to Jesus, but yes to Satan. And guess what that will get you? That will get you hell. That will get you fire and damnation for an eternity, forever. So choose today. Say yes to Jesus. If you have given your life, and, well, if you want to give your life to be saved, you want to give your life for Christ, you want to repent. I don't, whenever I give altar calls, I don't, you know, beat the people down or try and coax them to come. Hey, you know whether you want the Lord or not. If you want Jesus, raise your hands. Or if you are not in a place where you used to be with the Lord, you may have stopped reading the word. You need to come back to who you know, Christ. Raise your hands today and repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I repent for my sins and all my wrongdoing. I'm declaring with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me and he rose again. I also believe that because of this, I am saved. For it is with the heart that I believe and are justified, and with my mouth I profess my faith, and I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. Lord, come into my life and be my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your salvation. Now you are a member of the body of Christ. You know what the Bible says? All of heaven, not part of it, all of heaven rejoices over just one soul. You don't know what God got in store for you. I'm going to read this, welcome to the body of Christ. I'm going to read this last scripture to encourage you to always choose heaven. Even if you don't live right every day, like my sister said, repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you. But Romans 6:13-18 says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. But you know what? A lot of people do believe that once they get saved, they can do whatever they want their minds and their hearts tell them to do, and they'll still be saved. You saved, but let me tell you, you got to live every day to his glory and his honor. Because the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit every day. Sometimes your flesh wins. During that day, your flesh may win. I'm talking about myself. Sometimes my flesh wins. But you know what? At the end of the night or whenever, and you know when you sin. You know when you say something to somebody that's not right. You know to go back to them because the Holy Spirit will not let you rest. You know to go and apologize and repent. You not only repent to that person, but you repent to God. My neighbor over across the street called me last night. She's been having lots and lots of problems. She's the one that I always be talking about because she was such a cursor. Oh, and would say some horrible things. She was very mean and hateful, but I talk to her all the time, and every time she cursed, I say, stop cursing. And I know, I said, God didn't make you to be that type of person. You're not that kind of person. You're a loving, godly woman. I don't care what I'm seeing with my eyes and what I'm hearing with my ears. I'm calling things that she is saved.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Choose you, whether you're going to be a slave to death or to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that have now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Amen. Thank you for those that offered their lives, got saved today. I'm really happy. And you never, like I said, you never know where the Lord will take you just for one. Your life is worth it. Heaven or hell? Choose. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Sadie,
well, yes,
I really appreciate you.
Ooh, I really thank you for coming on. You had a full switchboard of people listening in, and I hopefully that those that may be working will go into the archives later on because this was a very good message. You was able to pinpoint and let people know things that they're taking for granted, things that they see or read, they think it won't happen to them or happen to their family, but it's happening every day. My grandson once told me, he said, it's nothing I see going on now that is a change or get me all discombobulated. He said, because you know, all this is going on, it's in the Bible. All we have to do is read
what
the Word says and let the Lord minister to us what we done read. Because, you know, a lot of things when we was little, like you say, coming up, we never thought about earthquakes, tornadoes, where we see a tornado just pick up a house and put it 150 miles away. Down
that
block. You know, how the earth is just opening up like a dome. People don't know where it's swallowing up the people, cars and stuff. Countries that never had no fight. It's, you know, the Bible said in Revelation there will be wars and rumors of wars.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's going on right now. Currency.
Right now.
You know, all that was going on, that's going on right now. So everything we experience in all these refineries in Texas that then started with fires, what did the Bible say? Not say it in Beverly. The Bible say that the earth was going to be destroyed next time by fire, not by water. Look at all the flooding we done had.
That
haven't destroyed it. But he said fire. You can't quench that fire. Nobody but Jesus. So
nobody
we better get our lives together. I want to thank you so much for this topic today and for coming on. And I know all the callers that was on the air have enjoyed the broadcast today. And if there's anyone else that would like to come on the broadcast, all you do is get in touch with me, and I will gladly bring you on. Whatever Wednesday you want to come on, I can come on any other day, but I usually choose Wednesday because I've been doing this one on Wednesday for about 13 years, just keeping with the program. You know, long as you stay on the path that God is taking you, don't divert unless he tell you to divert. But don't take it upon yourself to divert from the gospel. Do what mm-hmm. God say do, and you will be
Amen.
Blessed. I'm a living witness. Just follow the instruction, and you will be blessed. Stay
Amen.
Obedient, stay humble. And I want to thank all the callers that came in today on the line. You'll be able to go back and tell someone else about this broadcast today. Give them the number. They can call in. Put them on the Joy and Peace site through Facebook. They can even listen in through Facebook. You know, so invite others to come to the line. We hope to have another exciting topic in Jesus' name on next
Amen.
Wednesday. And I thank
Amen.
Y'all for coming on today. And you know, my little, it's a cliche. It's not in the Bible. You heard me say cliche. If I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. And I thank each one of you all for coming on the broadcast and making today, not only for me, but Evangelist Beverly, but above all, it's recorded in heaven today, on heaven or
Amen.
Hell, where the angels are rejoicing. Oh, my God.
Amen.
We don't know who listens to this program that will get saved. They may write into it and let us know hearing this message changed their life. And they may tell
Amen.
Somebody else, but long as the word was sent out there, where it will touch and reach lives and minds, that they may be changed. So until
Amen.
Next Wednesday, you all be blessed. I thank y'all
be
so
blessed.
Much for coming on and giving me a break. Let somebody else hear what somebody else know about the Lord. And I give
Amen.
Y'all the praise today and all the glory. And until next Wednesday, you all be blessed and have a
be
wonderful
blessed. I love
week.
You.
Love
Amen.
Y'all too. Amen.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.